My verse for tonight is, can these bones live? I love the answer, Lord, you know. Isn't that good? Greetings from, I don't even know where, let's see. I'm telling my wife I've been like 5 weekends out of the last 7 in different cities. And throughout each city, I'm just so amazed at the faithfulness of God and the body, whether it's Malta, Marlboro, Dover Plains, Tennessee, just different places. That's how faithful God is. And as I was in my office today, I had an emergency call from overseas. And urgent email, urgent call, please call. So I called, and a pastor said to me, he's been with us about 20 years, he said, Pastor Schiavelli, please pray. He said, I don't want to ask for anything, but I was just told I have 2 days, they're evicting me from this place that I live in. And he said, all the furniture, everything, like they're, and he had just paid them a year in advance rent, but the man said, unless you give 2, you're out. And so, really reasonable guy, I guess. So he said, I know, you know, the church helps and all that. I'm just asking you to pray and see what God would do. So, and Ula can testify to this. Within maybe 30 minutes, somebody sent the amount of money that he needed, came into the office and said, give this to Africa wherever it's needed. Now, would you say that God is faithful? Wouldn't you say that God is faithful? That was like, and there's so many things like that that happen in all of our lives. And so Ezekiel is brought to this valley of dry bones. There are very many bones, and they are very dry, and they're in a valley. And God asks him a question. I think God is, you know, it's interesting. He'll ask us a question like that. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel had the right answer, oh Lord, you know. And rather than looking at situations in our lives, whether it be finances, health, problems that occur all around us, rather than look at it that way and say, I don't know, you know, what's going to happen, and begin to engage in a lot of anxiety and wonder about it, we just relax in our lives and say, Lord, you know. Like, Lord, you know what's going to take place here. And really, really trusting God. When I got off the airplane yesterday, and I just want to also say thank you to 2 men have really helped me a lot. A lot of people have. But Pastor Ronaldo and Pastor Eugene are 2 men that, like, are always there whenever I need them. Pastor Alfred and really, they are 2 awesome men. And I said to my wife last night on the way home, I said, those men are such great friends. She says, those men are sons. And thank you for the correction, Linda. And that was so good. But and I was thinking as we were getting off, and there was I was able to walk off the airplane, but there was a woman sitting there. She says, do you need a wheelchair? Now, you know, like, for sure, I'm like, the Holy Spirit said, get in the wheelchair. So I got in the wheelchair, and she was pushing me. My wife was walking alongside, and I said, where are you from? She said, Ethiopia. I said, are you born again? She says, well, I think so. And so I just started to talk to her, and I realized, like, how God has these divine appointments, that he is so faithful in these incredible appointments. And just like being in Tennessee, I have never really met anybody like Pastor Drew. He's incredible. I mean, here's these 10 kids running all over the place, some of them with their husbands and some of them with other grandchildren. And he's just sitting there like everything is like, God is faithful. Like no matter what's going on, there's like 50 people living in the house. They're all over the place. People are everywhere, sleeping everywhere. And he's just as relaxed as can be. And on Sunday afternoon, he says, I want you to meet somebody. We're door knocking on Sunday afternoon. Boy, he uses up the day, the schedule. He every minute there was something. I asked, is there time to take in a breath? Like, is it okay to breathe? He goes, yeah. And we went to this man's house and sat down with his family. And just were talking to him about the faithfulness of God. And so Ezekiel is asked this question. Can these bones live? And the faithfulness of God, so incredible. I know we talk about it, think about it a lot, but really the activity of God's faithfulness in our personal lives. In Genesis 15:13, God told Abraham, as he was speaking to him and put him to sleep and then spoke to him later, in 400 years this nation is coming out. So God is telling Abraham that these bones, these people are coming out. He makes that promise to Abraham. In Genesis 50, verse 25, Joseph makes a statement, when you go up, you bring my bones up. That's Abraham, and now it's Joseph. And then in Exodus 13, 19, Moses is the one that brings the bones of Joseph out. And then in Joshua 24, 32, Joshua is the one who buries the bones. Think about it, Abraham and Moses and Joshua and Joseph, all of these men are all involved in a particular promise. And that's how faithful that God is. When thinking about 11 Galileans and thinking about how they would really have to trust God and understand how faithful that God is, that God would say to Peter in John chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 5, he calls him, and right to the end of Peter's life, Peter can say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and knowledge for you and for I. Grace and knowledge, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's incredible how God would be faithful to them. On Peter's lake, how faithful God was to Peter. In Matthew chapter 8, he stills a storm. In Matthew chapter 14, Peter walks on the water of the Sea of Galilee. In Matthew 17, Peter pulls a coin out of a fish's mouth. In Luke chapter 5, he received his call on the Sea of Galilee. And in John 21, a miraculous catch. What was God showing this man who would lead the church? He was showing him that he was faithful. And this is the thing, I think, throughout Christianity that is not here but is lacking in most places. That's why David screamed out in Psalm 12, help, Lord, for the grace man, it says the godly man, but it's the hesed man, the grace man ceases, and the faithful fail from the children of men. And by the way, where there is no grace, life, grace being taught, I do not believe there can be faithfulness. Help, Lord, for the grace man ceases and the faithful fail from the children of men. And I want to say, no matter what we're going through in our lives, no matter what it looks like by sight, you never interpret God's faithfulness by sight. Amen? You don't interpret God's faithfulness by your feelings. You don't interpret God's faithfulness by your experience. You do not interpret God's faithfulness by the response of people. We don't interpret God's faithfulness by how the world treats us. We do not interpret God's faithfulness according to the good side of the old sin nature. We interpret the faithfulness of God based on the character and nature of God. When God says, faithful is he who calls you, who will also what? Do it. Do you think he means that? I just decided to call you and let you handle life yourself. You just have a good time and I'll see you in heaven. Thanks. Thanks, but we can go every day to a merciful and faithful high priest. Whether we're in Kyrgyzstan, as I was talking with Pastor Emil today, about Kyrgyzstan and what God is doing there. Or Dundalk, right over there. One's over there, one's right over there. Whether we're in Africa or Baltimore or Korea or China, we can say that God is faithful. And we can believe that God is faithful. We can live as God is faithful. We can respond because God is faithful. And we hear time and time again, there's going to be trials and tests and crises and all kinds of situations that come upon us. And it is the enemy who is constantly whispering in our ear, well, what's going on now? Where's God now? Where's God? You're at the Red Sea. Where's God? You've got the walls of Jericho in front of you. Where's God? You're surrounded by 185,000 Assyrians. Where's God? You're sick. Where's God? You're not well. Where's God? You're in jail, 2 Timothy 4. Where's God on this journey? Where's God in this relationship? Where's God in this finances? It's not for you to ask me where God is. God lives in me, and faithful is he. God is faithful. And let's never lose that thought in our minds. Let's never allow projections or reflections to come in and say something different, regardless of what is taking place. It says that David in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It was like everything was over. It was the one of the worst situations you could ever look at in anybody's life. And it says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And in closing, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 7, 6 through 9, I will be faithful to Israel for 1,000 generations. And just in case you think that's not a lot, that's 40,000 years probably. And nobody's going that long. Okay? I will be faithful for 1,000 generations. The faithfulness of God. In the summer, the faithfulness of God. In the winter, as we travel, as we invest, as we go to Bible school, as we tithe, as we enter into relationships in the body of Christ, as we love one another, as even at times people, there's situations happen in our lives and we don't understand what's going on, we always know without a doubt the truth is that God is faithful. And never let an unfaithful liar convince you otherwise.
That was amazing. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so blessed by that message because it's just like just along the lines that I'm thinking also tonight. And that's why it blesses me. Many, many reasons. The content of it, wasn't it? I want to show you what I mean, okay? So this will be, that's the Pastor Schiavelli version, and this is the Pastor Schaller version, and we come out the same place. Isn't that awesome? And if you were up here, it'd be God would use you to say the same thing, I'm sure. Okay, so I'm so happy tonight and thankful, and I feel that that's just what, wow, that was amazing. That message was good. You know what I heard when he went in that message? I heard that the Holy Spirit is in our everyday life and that God is, by His grace, visiting us in everything that we're doing. And we praise Him because of it. That's what I heard. Was that correct, Pastor? Was that close enough? Wow, that was good. So the first point is praise the Lord. So let's do a little bit of that right now. Okay, that's enough. All right, calm down. Hey, you're going in the wrong direction. No, let's do it. Come on, yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay. Hey, I feel that. Do you feel that? Can these bones live? I mean, dried out bones. I mean, really dried out, demoisturized bones. Nothing left in them. Have you ever seen somebody that is really hungry eat the chicken and the bones? Anybody? I have. I've done it myself. How about you, Pastor? In Africa, probably, right? I eat them right here in Parkville. How about you? We eat the bones. Okay, let's see. This is too low, Pastor. It's dragging. Don't ever do that again. There we go. Joking. Okay. Okay, thanks, Pastor. Okay. Oh, praise ye the Lord. This is what the Bible says. Praise the Lord for all His goodness. And I'd like you to turn to Ephesians, please, for one verse there. And verse 9. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Are you awake out there? Okay, I want to say it's going to be short, punchy, get him, go get him type of message, but not going to happen. You're going to be falling asleep, sliding in your chair, down, down, down. No, it's not going to happen. Pastor Drew, wake up. No, I'm joking. Okay. Okay, here we go. Are we ready? All right. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 9. I was thinking of reading this verse in the opposite, almost opposite of what it's saying. And I want you to see it. For chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us. What's the opposite of that? God has made known unto us. Let's read the whole verse. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Let's do it one more time. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. How did he do that? By the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. He made known unto us the mystery of his will. What's the opposite of that? Making known unto us the mystery of his will is? He hides it? Okay. He does not make known to us the mystery of his will. That would be the opposite. Have you ever met somebody that won't tell you a secret? And how angry you get? Have you ever met a group of people that are keeping the information to themselves? Okay. Have you ever thought, I wonder what's going on over there in that room? What are they talking about? And when they come out, they don't tell you? Have you ever been on a basketball team where when the people are there making the plans and you're like a player sitting at the end of the bench? And they come out and they say, go get the water. And you go, okay, but what's going on? I can't tell you. You can't tell me, no. God in heaven easily could have said, it stops here. It stops here. I'm not going to create a universe. I'm not going to create angels. I'm not going to create man. I'm not going to communicate any of this goodness that is in me. Any of this love, any of this wisdom is not going to be communicated. Can you imagine that? I can. He doesn't owe us anything. He did not have to do this. He did not have to make us. He does not have to talk to us. He does not have to reveal himself to us. But he decided, by the good pleasure that he has in himself, that he would share himself with us. Okay? That's that. That's the message. Shall we go home? I don't know. Did you get it? I don't know if you got it. It's like, hello! All right, let's go to message number two. We will just not even go there anymore. We're finished. Did you get it? I mean, I just know that this could be so different. I just believe that God doesn't owe us anything, and he would have been perfectly righteous having done nothing in sharing with himself with us, in making us and sharing with us himself. But he did. Read verse 9 again. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What's your will, God? My will is that you would live forever. Oh no, Lord, you know I have sinned and you know how bad I am. My will is that you would be righteous and perfect. Is that your will, God? Yeah, it is. Really, what else is your will? I have many, many things that you have not seen, you do not know, but it is in my heart, my desire, in my very nature to communicate to you all of my goodness. Forever and ever and ever, I want you to comprehend the breadths and lengths and heights and depths of my love, because you don't know it. And we don't realize how far away we are from the true nature. In one hand, we're very much connected, but on the other hand, by our nature, we get it upside down and we turn it around. And we say things like, well, maybe my life doesn't mean so much. I had a little bit of that yesterday. I was up in Maryland here, and driving on a road, and I was by myself, and I noticed my gas tank was low, and I have an idea how many miles. I was very close. I was a quarter mile away from the gas station when I ran out of gas. And you know how, you know, the whole thing, and you know. So, but I landed on the side in a hill, and if the car had made it, the gas would have run forward in the tank, and I would have made it. So it's just a matter of hill. Even if it was flat, I would have made it. But that hill was the perfect plan of God. I got out of the car, and there was a guy in the backyard, and he's looking at me, and I thought, well, maybe he's the answer to my problem. I walk over. I said, I'm out of gas. He said, I got some. I said, how much is it going to be? He said, $100. $1,000 for you, you criminal, you. And so I had a beautiful time with him and carried and solved the problem. But I'm trying to say something, and we'll get to it in a minute. A couple hours. I want to say that God has in our lives one thing that He wants always, and that is to communicate to us the mystery of His will. In verse 9, read it one more time. Having made known unto us, He made known unto us His will is that we would be saved. We would live forever. We would be righteous like Christ. We would have Christ's mind. We'd have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We'd have a divine purpose in our life. And even when we run out of gas, so to speak, and we'll go right to that right now because I think we got there. But did you get that? Read it one more time. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His, like, what's that mean? What is that supposed to mean? That's a form of communication. It is a human, it's like God in the good pleasure. I mean, he wants to reveal by His own decision, in His own will, that we are the objects of His love, and His desire is to reveal His goodness. When you run out of gas, tarry, and I want to listen. Okay, this is awesome. I read through the book of Acts, not quite the whole book today. I went quickly, and I noticed something. At the end of every chapter, and I want to show it to you, turn to Acts chapter, the book of Acts, and we can go to every one of them, but I just want you to see, it's a history book. Acts is a history book. It is a fantastic history book. But that fantastic history is linked to something very common and very mundane. It's like our lives. And it's very comforting to know that in your life, just like in the book of Acts, there are some awesome days, and then there are just like regular days. If you look at chapter 1, verse 26, we won't read it. Chapter 2, verse 47. So if you can turn the pages of your Bible with me tonight, and we'll just look at these verses. And I pray that this will minister to you. I know you've had a hard day. How many have had a hard day? Okay, then I know you've had a great day. How many have had a great day? All right, I know that you had no day. You had no day. You fall in between. Okay, here we go. Ready? Chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What a great thing to happen every day this summer, that God would add to the church every day through the summer, daily, such as should be saved. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 3, verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. God wants to turn every one of us away from our iniquities this summer. Every adds daily to the church. He turns us away from our iniquities, and the folks in Baltimore City, that he wants to turn us away from our iniquities. Then chapter 4, verse 37, something fantastic. Having land, sold it, and brought the money to Pastor Taggart. Having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Having land. Now, don't get upset about this. Don't read in it as if you know the verse. You and I don't know it. You know what it means? That God was moving in such a way that a man by the name of Barnabas had it in his heart. Just like somebody called or sent in the money for Africa missions. Somebody had it in their heart. Somebody has it in their heart for Kyrgyzstan mission and so on. They have it in their heart. And Barnabas had it in his heart. This was a work of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, last verse. And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What was happening daily in the temple with boldness? They were teaching Jesus Christ. Then chapter 6, verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. These are great verses. You look at a brother or a sister today, and they may look like an angel shining. Have you seen it? We have seen it. That's the work. You see, this is where it's going. Look at chapter 7, last verse. And he kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Chapter 8, last verse. Is it? Verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. He went to a place and he started preaching through the... We can say that about our summer. I'm just thinking about it. And everything that is happening is connected with a divine purpose where God has so much pleasure in revealing to us who he is. But I can't tell who he is without Jesus Christ. I don't know that he loves me unless I have Jesus Christ. I don't know God's wisdom unless I have Jesus Christ. I don't know how important a detail like running out of gas is unless I have Jesus Christ. When I have Jesus Christ, then everything, and of course, the last verse in every chapter is just a way of looking at the history and realizing that on some days That doesn't seem like much is happening, and in other days it's divine direction, and in other days there is great revival happening. Look at chapter 9, verse 43. It came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Came to pass that he tarried many days. What are you doing? I am tarrying. What does that mean? I'm waiting. I'm waiting many days. I have seen so many godly people in their walk of faith. Debbie or Kobe Westera and her life, which we love her so much, and her godliness and her walk of faith, and she's at this place in her life, and how the Holy Spirit would put that in the Bible if he could. I mean, it's the same. You don't add to the Bible, but you hear what I'm saying. That every single thing, if God is in heaven in the Trinity and saying, it is my pleasure to reveal my nature to my creation. It is my pleasure that they would know me and understand me in the mystery of the fellowship. It is my pleasure that the Holy Spirit would dwell in them and they would realize the eternal and the spiritual. And I will write that Peter was tarrying many days with Simon, a tanner, and just thinking about what is he doing there. Chris Moore was in Russia just now. I think he's in Finland now on his way to the conference. And I heard the report from Russia. People are in summer conferences in the next few weeks in Poland and Finland and Romania and so on. They came from here, many of them, and they go out and their convention goes on in their prospective places. Then the next part is chapter 10, verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Stay with us, Peter, they said. Stay with us. Right here in our backyard. Wait right here. You know, when you're right here and it's connected with God, who's saying, I'm going to show you my patience. I'm going to show you my goodness. I'm going to reveal my grace to you. I'm going to show you that you can go through anything. Stephen lifted up his face and he was like an angel. God wants to show us that when I'm taking care of the babies in the hot summer months and dirty diapers and sweat and bottles and spilled milk and everything and that part of life, and I am connected with a relationship that God is saying, I delight. I am so pleased that I can reveal the mystery of my love and my fellowship to my people. Praise ye the Lord. That's the end result of that. Praise ye the Lord. Have you felt it? Have you sensed it in your heart? The praise to God for all his goodness. I have fed you with the finest of the wheat and with oil. What was it? Psalm 81. I have fed you with the finest of the wheat and then honey out of the rock. Honey comes out of the rock. And I'm saying, how could that be? Honey cannot come out of a rock. But God is saying, I delight in showing the mystery of my will to you. I want you to know that when you beat up yourself, that is not from me. There is no condemnation in me. It is my pleasure to reveal to you my mercy, my grace, my forgiveness, my name, my nature, my purpose. How about when I tarry a long time at Simon the Tanner's house and want to know what's going on? And God says, That's my joy. It's my pleasure to reveal to you. What about when I'm in a prison cell like Paul was? It is my pleasure and it is my joy. What about when I don't know about my life and where I'm going and what I'm doing? And he says, look unto me. It is my pleasure. It is my joy to feed you with the finest of the wheat and with, what was the word? Honey out of the rock. I hate it when I run out of gasoline. And I haven't done it for many years. I don't know when the last time, my kids would probably tell me, because usually they were with me when it happened. And I usually have it, but it happened, and I just think with you about our lives. And I don't know that I really communicated tonight what I wanted to say. I mean, I am so happy. I am so thankful. No matter what I go through, I'm associated with an eternal purpose and a living God who has so much pleasure in revealing to me this Holy Spirit love and wisdom. And he's saying, get the wisdom. I will show you. Your life is not in vain. There's no waiting and hanging out. You are connected eternally with a divine purpose in everything I do. And the summer months is a great way to think in those terms. It's a funny story. I want to finish this. Natalie, our Polish sister, was at a beach, and I think it was last summer, and she was in the waves, came up out of the surf, and there were two people there, and she said, is she here? Wait, does anybody know exactly what she said? There were two people there, and she came up out of the surf, and she said, okay, we got to get the right words. But this is what she said. I mean, this is the idea. She came up out of the surf. Did I already say that? And she came up out of the surf. And she said to these two people, what did she say? She said, she did say it. She said, where do you go to church? It was like a strange statement to these two people standing in the water in the ocean. Like, where do you go to church? I go to Greater Grace. It is a great church. You know what happened? Those people have been coming every Sunday since last summer. And they sit right there. And they tell me at the door, do you know how we got here? I say, no. They said, this girl, Natalie, was in the surf and came up out of the water. And she said, and I can't remember exactly what she said. You know what I mean by that? I mean this summer. I mean every day of your life. I mean whenever, any situation. I mean when you are young, when you're old, when it's summertime, when it's wintertime, when you're happy, when you're not. I mean you are connected to a living God. And every single verse in that book of Acts is saying to us, I'm in the details. They say in the world, the devil's in the details. And we say, hold it, wait a minute, God is in the details. Amen? And I praise God for it because I don't believe that this necessarily has to be this way with all this blessing. But I believe that it's God's so great pleasure to say to us, can these bones live? And we say, Lord, you know. And he's saying, you know they can, because I am God. And he says it in many applications in our lives. Could my marriage work? And God says, do you know who I am? And could my cancer be healed? Do you know who I am? And could you fill my life with purpose? Do you know who I am? And when I get dull and tired, do you know who I am? Romans 8:11. Do you know who I am? And it is my pleasure to make known unto you the mystery of my will and not leave you high and dry. Let's do 10. What's 10 last? 11, 30. Which also they did and was sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Paul. A historical detail, all of it precious to God. Chapter 12, verse 25, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was John, was Mark, they returned to home base. Barnabas and Saul, they returned back to, well, they went to Jerusalem, and they went back, and they took with them John. I mean, these men in your life, and you are no different. You have the same Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is still being written. Every detail is important. Running out of gas is nothing to a living God. And not paying my more, having a trouble, problem in my family, my life, whatever it might be, do you realize it's God's it's God's good pleasure to show us and reveal to us the reality of a living God, the Almighty God, and produce in us praise and say, now my life is not in vain. My life has a purpose. Every detail to the glory of God. We're putting treasure in heaven. We're footloose, fancy free. We are free, common people dwelling with the living God, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. Let's finish up with that. Hey, you know what? Like, the tomb is empty, and heaven is saying, the tomb is empty, the tomb is empty. And please spread that word around wherever you go. It's a very easy phrase that you can say everywhere and everywhere. Hi, how you doing? You go in a grocery store, hey, how you doing? The tomb is empty, the tomb is empty. Thank you for the bill, I appreciate it very much. God bless you. The tomb is empty, the tomb is empty. The message is real. Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. Confucius is dead. I'm not feeling too good myself. But Christ reigns and lives. It is God's good pleasure to reveal to us His love. Okay, would you pray with me? You're here tonight and you don't know what's going on in this meeting. Probably there's others like you here today that have been coming here for years. They don't know either, but they do actually. But you've got the message. We could not say it clearly enough. Only the Holy Spirit can say it to you. We have stammering lips, and we are only men and women here. But we are saying to you, please, open your heart to the only answer for death. You will die, but there's an answer. God loves you. Say to Him in your heart, I believe in you, Jesus Christ. I believe in you. Please say it and raise your hand here today in the auditorium, on the internet. Please just raise your hand and say to God, yes, to God, anyone at all. And Father, praise, praise, praise. We praise you in the car. We'll say praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You'll help us in our meditation. We'll learn to bring all our sorrow, our brokenness, our stuff to you. We'll become worshipers of you, kneel down before you and praise you. The psalmist said seven times a day, and even he said, I'll even get up in the middle of the night just to praise you and to meditate upon your law. That's an amazing heart. And that happens to us too, this heart of grace, this new life. It happens to us and many other things that happen that only the Holy Spirit can do. And He's doing it for us. And He's bringing us here together every service time. And we are your people of faith. And we have a song in our hearts. And teach us that song, a new song. Lead us in it in Jesus' name. Amen.